This morning you're hearing from Isaiah 58, some selected verses. Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Did you know that this book of Isaiah, these prophets' words, are sometimes, it's sometimes called the fifth gospel? Did you know that? Sometimes called the fifth gospel. The prophet Isaiah was quoted by Jesus more than any others, and that's why this morning's verses sound so familiar. If you remember, even just last week, we heard Jesus say to the woman at the well, "The water that I give you will be a spring welling up to eternal life," right? We heard that last week. And Jesus is repeating the prophet's words here from Isaiah when he says, when Isaiah has said to them, "You will be like a spring whose water never fails." See, the prophet in this latter part of Isaiah was speaking to the leaders and the community of faith who were returning from exile. They had been in Babylon. They had been totally interrupted in the practices of their community, in the practices of their faith, in their leadership. They were feeling weak and ineffective as a nation. You know, part of what happened when Babylon came in and scattered the Hebrew nation was that Judah, the northern and southern kingdoms, had kind of started doing business with Babylon. So in their doing business with Babylon, they'd become a vassal state. And that opened the door and gave Babylon the permission to come in and just totally interrupt them. As you probably remember and know, the temple was totally destroyed and they were taken away from the center of their community life and scattered into Babylon. As they began making their way back into Jerusalem, this is hundreds of years later, they come back into Jerusalem, and the prophet Isaiah encouraged the community, "Grow deeper in your relationship with God. Grow deeper in knowing God." Growing in relationship to God is not done by making these simple exterior changes like putting on sackcloth and fasting. You know, in those days, the ancient community, when they were fasting and growing in their relationship with God, they made it a big visible event. They put on sackcloth, they put ashes on their head, they let everyone know that they were fasting. Well, the prophet says, fasting alone, putting on sackcloth alone, that does not make for a deep relationship with God. Rather, to grow in God, one must respond to God with both your heart and with action. There must be an interior change that directs and motivates our faith. Now, I really like the term practicing our faith. Practice is what you do when you get ready for the big game. Practice is what you do to prepare for the music recital. Practice is what you do for a theater performance. Practicing faith means taking a step without knowing where it will lead and doing it over and over and over again. Faith is the assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. Faith is the evidence of things yet to be seen. And the ancient faith community practiced faith, both through their acts of devotion, like fasting and worship, and also in their acts of mercy, by taking care of the community, the neighborhood, if you will. The care of widows and orphans was written into the very fabric of community life, and it was every bit a part of practicing faith, as was prayer and worship. Now, the motivation for faith, where does that come from? The motivation for the faith of the ancient Hebrew community came through their collective memory of what God had done for them in the past, through God's faithfulness to them in their past, through their remembering that once they were slaves in Egypt and God delivered them through the Red Sea into safety, that God provided water out of a rock, that God provided manna and quail in the wilderness for 40 years. God provided all that they needed, and the motivation for them to practice their faith came through something called gratitude. God reached into their lives first, and they had the opportunity to respond. Well, God in Jesus Christ reaches into our lives first, and we get the opportunity to respond. Faith is our response to God's love and nothing else. Now, sometimes it is not so easy to be faithful. Sometimes it feels like there is not a lot to be thankful for. Think about that last time that you found yourself in a strange or sun-scorched land, a time when you didn't think you had much to be grateful for, a time when your heart was looking for God's deliverance. Maybe it was the cancer diagnosis, or the divorce, or getting lost in the web of unemployment, or frustrations at home, or at work, or at church. Any time that you struggled to find very much at all to be thankful for, Isaiah's words are for you. The Lord will guide you. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. He will strengthen your frame, and you will find yourself like a well-watered garden. Isaiah was providing God's guidance through his instructions. He said, even in your suffering, share bread with the hungry. Even when you are having difficulties, bring the homeless to your house. And don't hide when you see someone coming toward you naked. Make your relationship to God, make your devotion to God be one in which you act to be part of another's redemption. Now, I'm going to speak for myself. I can't respond to God without practice. And some days it's easier than others. It's especially hard if I try to do faith all by myself. My faith gets stronger as I grow in community. To be like a well-watered garden is both an individual and a communal statement. Well, a well-watered garden begins with one of these. Yep, you know what this is. These are common for us these time of year. A well-watered garden is offered water through a hose, a garden hose, that is connected to the source of the water. You know what it's like when you drink water out of a hose? It's coming at you so fast you can't barely get the water in your mouth. Once you kind of finally figure out how to do that, you realize that it's draining down your mouth, down through your shirt soaking wet. You look down before you know it, your feet and your shoes are just covered in water because there is so much water coming at you, you can't get it all. The best demonstration for a garden hose is to watch a three-year-old child drink out of a hose, right? First they get their cheeks wet, they figure out where to put it, they finally get the water in their mouth, and then they decide to just take the hose and put it right over their head and just get drenched in the water, right? Well, I think that's how God loves us. I think God's love comes at us so fast and so full that there is no way that we can receive it all. And I think it's available and it's coming to us all the time. What the problem is that we resist God's grace. Just a little sip. That's all we want. Just a little sip. Just a little bit of grace. That's all we can take. And yet the scriptures say that the Lord is able to accomplish far more than we can imagine possible, more than we would ever dare ask or hope. Well, the thought of relying totally on God's grace is kind of a scary thought, right? The thought of having that hose just connected to the source and only relying on that and not relying on anything else is kind of scary. But we need to stay fully connected to God's grace. We need not to turn away from the grace that God is providing. Grateful hearts happen when we stay connected to the source and when we drink deeply of the waters of God's grace. Now, here's the no-brainer. Who's the source of God's grace? Who? I'm asking, who is the source of God's grace? Jesus Christ, right? Say it. Jesus Christ is the source of God's grace. Grace is not a substance. Grace is that relationship that we have with Christ. Grace is in our relationship. What did he accomplish for us? Right? What did the work on the cross accomplish for us? New life. Death and sin have been overcome. We have been given all that we need to live fully, humanly, and in relationship with God and one another. Every response that Jesus made was to pour out water. Every response was to pour love out over all those that he met. And most often, he poured out the mercy, the grace, and the forgiveness over those who were having the most difficult time. Those who had lousy jobs. Those who were the least respected in the community. Those kind of like Zacchaeus, remember, the tax collector, didn't have a lot of respect. How about those with horrible diagnosis, the 10 lepers, those who were outcast in the community? Those were the ones Jesus poured the grace out over. Those with no ability to care for themselves. The blind beggars. Those who laid outside the gates, unable to offer anything of themselves. Those caught in adultery. those bleeding and bent over, the most unacceptable women in the community. Jesus continually offered grace to fill their lives with more than they could ever ask for. The ones who did not need Jesus, the ones who were resistant to the water he offered, and you know the ones that were most resistant to Jesus were government leaders and some of the temple officials. And that is a very convicting statement for me and for some of you. But when the response by those who received God's love and grace and mercy was gratitude, those relationships grew. Their faith made them well. Gratitude is one response to Jesus that helps us to grow deeply in love with God. The more thankful we are for all that God is providing in good times and in bad, the deeper our love for Jesus Christ is. This prayer from Ephesians that the Apostle Paul writes today is that somehow we might find how deep and how wide and how long and how high is this love of Christ. Well, I think these words are all words that speak to Wesley Church today. We are a community who has experienced something of an exile, and it's evident that you are practicing your faith, trying to return to a deeper sense of relationship with God and with one another. In our time and place in history, here in this neighborhood in Alexandria, where life's challenging forces abound, we are called to be like garden hoses, channels for God's grace to flow out to others. God is ready to do more than we could possibly imagine in loosening the bonds that create suffering. And as the grace of the relationship that we have with Christ is revealed, we too will be like a well-watered garden. We will begin to see the transformation of all creation that flows out of the redemption of God's people. So now is the time to reflect long and carefully on which seeds we are watering here at Wesley Church. Every time love, mercy, and forgiveness are watered, some suffering is relieved, some anger or pain is eased. It's really that simple. But when we water seeds of discontent, anger, frustration, or lack of faith, we wind up with a kink in the hose and no water comes forth, no new life to those places. I saw this very specifically as a labor and delivery room nurse, that anytime laboring parents came in and began to focus on their pain, they had more difficulty with their birth. But as they began to focus to the good things that were happening, and as they began to breathing and changing position and walking, participating in the process that it took for birth to come forward, those seeds facilitated the new birth. So in the church, we need to do the same. We need to move our focus away from discontent, from anger, from grief, and we need to water the seeds of faithfulness, love, mercy, forgiveness, and healing, thereby illuminating for others the grace of what it is to live in relationship fully with Jesus Christ. So my friends, this morning, this summer, as you get out your garden hoses to water your plants, remember that the summer plants will flourish when a hose is connected to the source of the water. Gratitude for all that Jesus Christ accomplished for our sakes is a significant way to grow in relationship with God. Thanking God every day for blessings as well as challenges, and inviting God to help us to totally trust in Him as we practice our faith together. Grateful hearts are cultivated from watering the seeds deep within, deep places where your spirit can flow. Be grateful for all that God is providing, and then, if your heart is in need of love, then invite love. If you need faithfulness, take a step in faith. If you need mercy, offer mercy. If you need forgiveness, forgive someone. Through the Spirit of Christ in your life, God will water just the seeds needed to bring forth new life. There is far more water springing from the grace of relationship with Jesus Christ than we can handle. Let us pray. We praise you and thank you, Holy God, for all your blessings to us. And for those of us who are having a week that has been filled with anxiety and disappointment, help us to water those seeds that will transform our lives into life-giving hope and possibility. No matter where we are this morning, may we allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us, that we might grow deeply in relationship with you through your love and through your grace. Amen.